Psalm 121 is another song, or it's the second, of the Song of Ascents. We've noted that these songs of ascents can be grouped into threes. Each group, the first in each group, records or exposes a situation of difficulty. The second, we said in our, when we introduced these Psalms of Ascents in last time, focuses on God's power to keep. And the third focuses, the third psalm in the triple, focuses on security in Zion and in God. And so last time we saw the difficulty in Psalm 120 presented to us as living as strangers in the world. And the response then of the psalmist to seek God's deliverance. And we saw that for us this means living as clear witnesses for Christ in response to the distress and the lies and the deceit and the falsehood all around you. You stand out and you stand up for the truth. And we saw then that Peter provided a clear exhortation on how we should live as such then in 1 Peter 2 that we considered as we looked at Psalm 120 last time. So here in Psalm 121, the second of the triples, the focus then shifts on God's power, onto God's power to keep. The psalmist asks the question, where does my help come from? I lift my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? The pilgrims then going up to Jerusalem were amongst the hills of Palestine. Palestine is not a flat country. It is a country of hills. And they travelled then to Jerusalem. They were travelling amongst the hills of Palestine. The terrain then was rough. The terrain was challenging. The terrain was difficult. And they were strangers as well, as we've seen. They faced difficulty then as they journeyed. One commentator has noted that the specifics of the problem in this psalm were not revealed. It's left vague. We're not told why does the psalmist need help specifically? He's lifting his eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Why? What's the problem, we may ask? Well, we're not told what exactly the problem is. And so this applies in whichever way, in every circumstance that you may face when confronted by difficulties and challenges. It's applicable then to any and every threat that arises now as it was then. It is to be broadly applied. This psalm of a Song of Ascents is not just for the era of the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. It is for us here several thousand years later. As the pilgrims travelled to Jerusalem then, they would have faced these mountains. And to us, mountains are visions, views, visages, whatever, of vistas. That's the one I'm looking for. Vistas of beauty. And we often some of us spend our time in the mountains, marvelling at the beauty and the awe-inspiring wonder and majesty. And we sing out to our God as we marvel at his wonder of creation and the beauty that we see, and looking at those, you know, the beauty of the Southern Alps with draped in snow, or if we see the Ruahinis or the Tararuas and snow capped in the winter, the beauty and the drama, the scenery is stunning. But that's not what this psalm is about. Mountains, the hills, were places of danger. A very real danger. The haunts of bandits, the haunts of robbers. Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, didn't he? About a man who was journeying, actually from Jerusalem to Jericho, kind of going the other way to these pilgrims. But he fell among robbers who frequented the hills, who beat him, robbed him, and left him for dead. They showed no mercy, they showed no pity. That those were the people then who inhabited, dwelt among these hills, posing a threat, a real threat, a real danger to those passing through them. And so the psalmist asks the question, where does my help come from? It's an entirely natural question to ask in these circumstances. These hills are not then the romantic vista inspiring the pilgrim, as we may imagine them to be, given our experience of hills perhaps. These hills had to be walked over, they had to be trekked through. There were real dangers, real difficulties. Where was the psalmist's strength and help to come from? How was he going to get through this terrain, to get through to Jerusalem? The Christian road is a hard road. The Christian pilgrimage, the way to God, the journey to God, is a hard way. Challenges, difficulties of daily living, and the struggle that it is simply to keep going and to persevere. It is difficult terrain, it is rough ground. And any of you who have walked in the mountains will know that, and in the hills, you know how rough the ground is. And again, my own experience of walking in the hills, there's some of the most challenging parts of a walk in the hills are often through the forest, through the rough ground, the rooty ground, the muddy ground, slippery, easy to trip, easy to slide. It's steep, it's up, it's down. It's a relief often to reach the bush line, and you're out on the open tops and you can see clearly the way. But then there are other dangers. Perhaps not necessarily tripping and sliding, as you can see the way more clearly, but perhaps the cloud comes down or the wind blows up. It can be hard to find the way, and those orange markers that were nailed to the trees to mark the route through the forest, they aren't there anymore. And you rely on the map and the compass, and you navigate your way carefully then over that terrain. You pay attention to that way. And this illustrates that the pathway of our pilgrimage cannot be navigated on our own. We need assistance. We need assistance, whether it's the orange markers in the forest, the map and the compass on the open tops. I need assistance when I'm out walking in those hills today. If I were to rely on intuition, I would have walked off a cliff by now. The Christian life is a dangerous pilgrimage. It's a difficult pilgrimage. It is a hard way. You cannot navigate it by yourself. You cannot use your own intuition. You need a helper. You need a keeper. And six times in this psalm, it is declared that the Lord keeps you. Your help comes from the Lord, verse 2 says. The psalmist has asked the question. He's been confronted with the terrain he's got to go through, the dangers, the difficulties, the threats. How am I going to get through this? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's how he's going to get through this. That's how you and I are going to get through this life. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Surrounded by hills, surrounded by difficulties, surrounded by dangers, by challenges to finding the way. There's so many dangers, so many things that can deceive us into taking the wrong way. Well, it seems right. It feels right. It's not doing any harm if I go this way and do this. I've been this way before and I came to no harm. You can be tempted to take an easy route. You can bypass the difficulty, bypass a tricky bit of the way. Well, you know, in John Bunyan's allegory, in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian took bypath meadow. It seemed so easy, it seemed so right. Far more pleasant but it ended up with doubting castle and giant despair. There's the danger in trying to navigate the pilgrimage using your own initiative, using your own strength. It's going to end in disaster. If you seek to live the Christian life your way, in your strength, you will fail. You cannot do it. We face many dangers, physical and spiritual. And so we read from Hebrews 12. We're called to run with perseverance. We're called to cast off that sin that would weigh us down. We're called to look always to Jesus, so that you may not grow weary, so that you may not grow faint-hearted. Because he is our helper in every difficulty, in every danger. So our help then comes from Almighty God. He who has made those hills. The psalmist is looking to those hills. He's got to transit through those hills to get to Jerusalem. They're full of dangers, full of snares, difficulties. But God has made those hills. He made the heaven and earth. He stretched out the expanse of the stars, as we read in Isaiah 40 this morning. He has named each one. He spoke and each one came into existence. The number that we can see, which we cannot number. And there is a myriad more that we cannot see, neither can we number. He made all of them. He formed and he fashioned the literal hills and the mountains that the psalmist had to walk through. God made those hills. God made that landscape through the means that he had ordained, through the storms and the floods and the collision of tectonic plates and the rise of molten magma and the explosion of volcanoes in certain parts of the world, including our own. He formed and he fashioned what we see, and he has sovereignly superintended every difficulty, every trial, every metaphorical hill in your life, every obstacle as you perceive it, perhaps to living a quiet life, every obstacle to getting your own way, every trial is sent from your loving Heavenly Father's hand. And he sends that trial to refine you and to conform you to Christ, to burn off a little more impurity and prepare you for your homecoming. Friends, your help comes from a personal, loving, sovereign, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. Nothing can happen to you that is outside of his decree and direction. Every situation that you face, every difficulty, every distress and disappointment and threatening danger is within his created realm. That is what this psalm is opening with. He is the maker of heaven and earth. All things he has made. All things are under his command and decree. He begins, he maintains, he controls, he directs everything in his creation. So that's everything. That encompasses all things. Nothing is excluded. The earth and everything in it, the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, all things were made by him and for him. And more specifically by the Word of God, the Son of God, from whom nothing in all creation can separate you from his love. Nothing can pluck you from his hand. He is the King of creation. And as a consequence then of such origin, he's not going to let your foot be moved either, is he? And that's where the psalmist goes in verse 3. He is going to keep you. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. There's never a moment of your life that God isn't there. He doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep, he's always awake, he's always attentive to your need. He is always there. And that's in contrast, isn't it, to if you recall the situation on Mount Carmel with Elijah, which we're going to be coming to, Lord willing, in our series in Kings, 1 Kings 18, where on Mount Carmel, Elijah ridicules the worshippers of the false god Baal. No answer came to their pleadings. Oh Baal, answer us. And Elijah taunts them. Perhaps he's asleep. Perhaps he's gone away. Perhaps he's on a journey. Perhaps he's relieving himself. And one commentator has said that this verse in this psalm is probably a subtle jibe at Baal worship. You see, God does not slumber. Our God, who is the maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God's keeping of you is not passive. He is actively keeping you. He's actively guarding you. He is the active guardian of each of his people individually. You who are following Christ tonight, and all of his people collectively. He always stands guard over his own to protect you from danger. And it's constant. It's never faltered. It never fails, nor is it interrupted. And God is identified furthermore in verse 4 as the keeper of Israel. The thought moves then from keeping the individual's foot from moving, slipping, falling, literally step by step on that pilgrimage. The pilgrim is kept by God, to the fact that he is more broadly and generally Israel's keeper. And that would have reminded the pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem through these hills of God's great work of redemption in redeeming Israel from slavery to Egypt. In Egypt, and keeping them through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, who brought them into the Promised Land. In other words, they're reminded that it was God who had overthrown Israel's enemies in the past, who redeems his people today. And just as God had overthrown Israel's enemies in the past, he was able to overthrow the enemies of God's people as they journeyed on pilgrimage to Jerusalem through those hills. And as Jesus infers in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus has secured for you an eternal home. If you're trusting in Jesus, if you're trusting in his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary to deal with your sin and separation from God, if you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he has rescued, he has redeemed you, he is preparing a place for you, and he's going to lead you home. He's not going to leave you in this world. He's going to lead you and take you with himself to be with him forever. And there's that sense of eternity, again, that we considered this morning, is reiterated in the final verse of this psalm. The fact that the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Jesus will keep you forever. You're kept, Christian, you're kept by God. You're kept by the Creator of the heavens and earth. You are kept by the one who does not slumber. You are kept by the one who has brought his people out of Egypt, redeemed them from slavery, from an impossible situation, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the Promised Land. And Jesus is keeping you through your pilgrimage, and he will bring you home. He has promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I am with you always." You can be absolutely confident of this, of his presence with you as you journey through this world, that God is keeping you. He keeps, he provides, he sustains, he protects through those many dangers and trials and snares and difficulties. He is keeping you. And the pilgrims then were protected from the natural elements on their journey. And that's the sense of verse 5. "The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." They were kept around the clock. Comprehensively, in other words. One commentator has drawn the comparison with Psalm 91. Being under the shadow of the Almighty. "The Lord is your shade on your right hand." And Psalm 91, "The Lord is your shadow, the shadow of the Almighty." We are kept in him. And in Christ then we are gathered under his wings, aren't we? That's how Jesus described how he would have gathered Jerusalem, would they have been willing, as a hen gathers its chicks under her wings. And so we are assured of his covering, aren't we? His robe of righteousness covers us from the consuming fire and purity of a holy and a just God. We stand perfect, we stand complete, we stand holy in Christ. That's the extent to which he covers us fully, completely, perfectly. And that covering in Christ means that God is with you and God is for you, and he is keeping you as his precious child in his Son, and with God on your right hand, verse 5, he is ready to defend you. He's ready to shelter you. He's ready to protect you from those dangers. Both sun and moon then are used poetically here to emphasize the Lord's protection around the clock. It's constant, it covers every threat, every eventuality, day and night. There's no part of the day that the Lord is not your keeper. It's simply not possible. The protection afforded by God is full and it's complete and it's utterly comprehensive. And so, that being the case, God's protection extends to the spiritual realm too. Verse 7, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life," or your soul, your very being. The Lord has kept his people through Egypt, through the Red Sea, although pursued hotly by their enemies, through the wilderness, and he's brought them to the Promised Land. Joshua could say at the end of his life that the Lord who had brought them out of Egypt preserved us in the way that we went. Joshua 24:17. God has kept, God has preserved his people down through the ages. Each one can testify to the Lord's sustaining grace and his mercy. He will keep your life. He will keep your soul from all evil. Remember when Satan asked to sift Peter, Jesus prayed for Peter. And although Peter stumbled and he denied his Lord around that fire in the court of the high priest, he preferred to take the easier option in the heat of that moment, surrounded by enemies. But he did not fall away. And Jesus kept him. He preserved Peter. He restored Peter, didn't he? Jesus kept Peter's life, Peter's soul. The devil could not have him. My friends, there may be times in your life when it feels very dark. There may be times in your life when it feels as though the hosts of hell are assailing you. When Satan is truly buffeting your soul and he's seeking to bring you down. But the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Satan cannot have you, although he may try, because you belong to Christ. Now, he may be allowed to torment you for a season. And the horrors you may face, or the horrors you may yet to face, may indeed be truly dreadful. And we can't use these verses in this psalm to say that you're going to have it easy and it's going to be a walk in the park all the way home. No. We can turn to Job and we can read in Job the horrors that he had to face as Satan for a time, for a season, was allowed to torment him. But you know, Job also shows us that there are limits placed on the evil that afflicts us. And ultimately, the key point is that these hosts of hell cannot pluck you from your Saviour's hand. They simply cannot, because Jesus has promised. But that doesn't mean to say they're not going to try. That doesn't mean to say that you're going to have an easy life, never a care. What it means is that Jesus has promised to preserve you, and Jesus has promised to keep you. Although the way may be very dark, and the way may be very hard at times. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. They may try. There will be attacks. And attempts will be made to bring the church down, to silence the witness for Christ, to divide, to destroy. But God is protecting, God is sustaining, and God is keeping. And as an individual believer in Christ, nothing, my friends, can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We read from Romans 8 this morning. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has promised. God is protecting. God is keeping. He is keeping you from all evil. He will keep your life. Spurgeon notes that God is the soul, as in only, keeper of the soul. Your soul, your life, your being is kept by God, he says, from the dominion of sin, from the infection of error, from the crush of despondency, from the puffing up of pride, from being kept from the world, the flesh, and the devil, kept for holier and greater things, kept in the love of God, kept unto the eternal kingdom and glory. What can harm a soul that is kept by the Lord? So the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever, the psalmist concludes. Every possible part of this life, every possible part of this pilgrimage is covered forever. God's care of you is not temporary. It is not seasonal. It is forever. He will keep your life for eternity. If you're following Christ, if you're on that pilgrimage to the heavenly city, he will keep you forevermore. You are being guarded. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You are being guarded, my friends. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are being guarded by Almighty God. And that inheritance is yours. It is that inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, is being kept in heaven for you. God is not going to let you languish in this earth and perish if you are his child. He will bring you through these difficulties. He will bring you through those hills. And he will lead you safely home. What a tremendous encouragement to that reminder of God's power would have been then for those singing the psalm on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What a tremendous encouragement this psalm is to you and me as we face dark days, as we face difficult days, as we face uncertain days. You face them in Christ, my friends. The Christian life is a struggle. It's hard, yes. It's through the valley of the shadow of death. For there to be a valley, there must be hills on either side into which that valley has been cut. Expect those difficulties. Expect those dangers. Be prepared. And turn to your keeper for help. And in your growing sense of weakness then, as you face those difficulties, as you feel more deeply the need of being kept, you cannot keep yourself. Remember that. You cannot keep yourself in this pilgrimage. You cannot get yourself home. You cannot weather the storms in your own strength. If you try, you'll be swept away. You need God's help. You need God's keeping. Don't go your own way. And you know, God has uses means, doesn't he? And one of those means that God uses to keep you is by putting you in a church. By surrounding you with brothers and sisters in Christ for your safekeeping. So that you have those who are watching over your soul. Those who are ministering God's word to your heart. And shepherding your life, your soul and your spiritual well-being. But more than that, the community of God's people as a whole, in which we watch out for one another, in which we love one another, which we warn one another, which we care for one another, which we're watching out for one another. And when we see someone straying and going aside and struggling and stumbling, and they're having a difficult time of it, we get alongside them. God is using us as his people to get alongside one another and to help one another. And that's a means then that he uses to keep us. And we encourage one another and we help one another as we support one another. And Satan cannot have his way. As we are living for Christ, as this community of his body, under his headship, living for Christ and encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the point of this psalm is not that you will never have problems and difficulties. Quite the contrary. The point of this psalm is that God will keep you safely as you go through what may be horrific difficulties and trials. It is not that you will never stub your toe. It's not that you'll never stumble. It's rather that no injury or accident or distress or evil power will be able to separate you from God. Because he is your keeper. One commentator has noted this. The Christian life is not a quiet escape to a garden where we can walk and talk uninterruptedly with our Lord. Nor is it a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others who have made it to the winner's circle. The Christian life is going to God. In going to God, you and I travel the same ground everyone else walks on. We breathe the same air that everyone breathes. We drink the same water. We shop in the same stores. We read the same newspapers. We're citizens under the same governments. We pay the same prices. We fear the same dangers. We're subject to the same pressures. We get the same distresses. We're buried in the same ground. The difference is that each step that we walk, each breath that we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know that we are accompanied by God. We are ruled by God. We are kept by Almighty God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure, or what accidents, so-called, we experience, the Lord will preserve us from all evil. He will keep our life. But more than all of this, he will keep your soul safe, even in the midst of the fiercest of foes, and the fiercest and most grievous of assaults. Christian, God, who made and sustains all things, is guarding every moment of your life, keeping you. He will hold you fast. He is your keeper now and forever. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you that it points us to you. We thank you that it points us away from those difficulties that would seek to overwhelm us. Those griefs, those sorrows, those dangers, those disappointments that would seek to erode our trust and our confidence in you. Oh Lord, you keep us through them all. And we pray that our reaction when we face those difficulties, when we face those dangers, would be to go to you and to remember your promises, to remember you are our keeper and you are the one who sustains us every moment of every day. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be part of a community of your people, a body, your church, O Lord, and that is part of the way in which you are keeping. And we thank you, O gracious God, that you are at work. We thank you that you are keeping us through many dangers. And we pray that you would keep us always looking then to you, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the sustainer of our faith, and that we would be ultimately brought safely home to the glory of our God and our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen.